I guess I will start with the Doctor and River encountering each other. And of course, in a kind of reversal there, the Doctor recognizes River and River doesn't recognize the Doctor. But I said, I totally think that this is like also Stephen Moffat's way of like making sure no one else can use River.
You think so?
Because he like made sure that she had the 12 faces and went, he doesn't have any beyond this. He only has 12. And then to find out that he was the Doctor meant that she didn't know he had this other cycle of regenerations.
But isn't it what we found out before, right?
But
that she said you were so much older when I met you?
But now I'm saying...
Really foreshadowing that they had to cast an older Doctor at some point.
But, well, I just said she meant older, like, she could sense it in his, like, being.
Good point.
Because he is now, like, over 1,000 years older. And if you want to count all that other time in the confession dial, he's, like, billions of years old now, so... But I just thought that I couldn't help but think that was like Stephen Moffat making sure that no one can like, well, it's Doctor Who, so anyone can bend the rules that have been established. But I felt like this is him like trying really hard to make sure no one ever does write River, because it's like, okay, she's never met any other doctor. This is the last time that she is meeting the doctor before going to the library. She will never see anyone else.
Joanna, was that right? Was this the last time before the library?
I don't know. I'm trying to, like... I was watching it. I was thinking about all of this. I don't know.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
Because she says that...
Well, I know they're supposedly going opposite directions.
But that was in the... I think it was in the Forest of the Dead, technically. But in that two-parter, she says that the last time she saw him before going to the library was at the Singing Towers of Duryllium. And he had a haircut and a new suit, and he cried.
But it doesn't make sense.
And he gave her the Sonic.
It doesn't make sense, because how did everything else work around? Like, how did all the other episodes happen, then?
Well, they're all before that in her timeline.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So this is, like, out of order for her. It's not strictly in reverse. It's like she jumps around a bit. So instead of... So, I mean, because technically we've already seen her after she was the library ghost, but now this was their... Because she said that,
well, she was
that,
the library ghost with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
So she went from Capaldi to Tennant. So there was, so the Matt Smith doesn't fit in.
Because well, you was said the last between.
Time you said the he couldn't have been.
He's
no, because the last time she saw the doctor
well, this
was
the,
at the dinner thing. That was the first meeting. And then the next very next meeting of them was in the library.
So this is the end of River's timeline.
I get that. But it's back to back with the library time when they meet. So
timey-wimey.
She never says anything about Matt Smith. Like, she couldn't have.
But she said, when she meets him in the library, she mentions, like, she's seen other faces, and she...
But she said the last time she saw him was when they were having dinner. That means that the very next time was in the library.
Yeah.
So that means that there was no meetings of them between. And the Matt Smith meetings would have been between.
No, because when she comes to the singing tower, well, the start of this episode, the bad dude on the cruise ship of evil people looks at her diary and says, oh, you've just come from Manhattan. Where is that? And he, like, goes through it and he mentions Jim the Fish and he mentions the crash of the Byzantium. So all that's in her journal.
So wait, so are we saying that she did the Matt Smith stuff first? Then
for
David
her,
Tennant?
Yes.
Then Capaldi? Does that sound right to everybody?
For her, it is...
Smith,
then Capaldi, then Tennant.
No, it can't be. Because she says, when I met you, you were so much older. Well, I guess Smith would have been older than Tennant also. Joanna, does that make any sense to you at all?
I don't know.
I'm confused. My head hurts.
Well, she meets Matt Smith because we saw that with Mel's and then...
And Matt Smith already knew who she was because
he met her as David Tennant.
Tennant.
That's why they need the diaries to compare. Because who can keep track of all this?
You know what would have been nice to have seen? An episode explaining how her timeline is so shifted and doesn't go in, like, a time. Like, I get she's a time traveler, but they don't explain it. They never really explain how or why, right? I mean, she's a thief and a time traveler. That's all we know.
Archaeologist.
Thief.
Archaeologist.
Does she ever say that belongs in a museum? No. She steals from said museum. Thief. Yeah. I like River's character. Don't get me wrong. I always liked River's character. But come on, she's a thief. She's the Catwoman of the series. Right? Because wasn't Catwoman the bad person in Batman, a bad guy? But there was always that, like, that thing between her and Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, he never really had her. He never really busted her, did he? So, I guess my thing is, it's all out of order, and we don't really know why. And me and Joanna now are thoroughly confused.
Okay, but I still say that is the right timeline. It's Smith, then Capaldi, then Tennant. Most of her experiences were with Matt
Smith.
But she
doesn't recommend... She doesn't... Okay, whatever. I don't care. It's the worst rated episode they've had since 2005. I really don't care. Go ahead.
So, yeah, we got sidetracked on the River doesn't recognize the Doctor because she thought he only had the 12 faces. But it is interesting that she knows about the War Doctor.
She wasn't in that episode.
No, but she has his picture in her wallet or whatever. Okay, so then the madcap adventure begins because the Doctor is invited in to meet River's husband, who he is supposed to save. And of course, there's that issue too, that is she really his wife? Because did they really get married in the wedding of River Song? There was the whole, it was never quite clear.
But she would have been single at this point because anyways, yeah, you're right. You're never really sure if they're...
Because they said she was his wife, but technically, I don't know if that ceremony
But he gets all, like, flustered because she flirts with, what was it name? Hydroflex?
Well, she's married. She's married, but then she keeps saying, I married the diamond.
Yeah.
Because he...
Well, diamonds no are one, forever.
No one would want to marry him, but I've jumped ahead in the plot there. But yeah, she...
That's okay, so is her timeline.
In my timeline, that happened first, and then they went back and met King Hydroflex, and then we learn about the diamond, after we learn she's married to the diamond. It makes sense in my timeline.
You're lucky you're cute, but go ahead.
She brings the Doctor in. The Doctor is shocked to meet her husband, because, of course, I said... That part confuses me. Is she really married to the Doctor? Because the wedding didn't seem quite official to me, but...
But she doesn't know him anyway.
No.
So she's married... She may be married to the Doctor, but not to him.
Well, I would think...
But she doesn't know it's him, so...
Yeah. But I would think the life of a time traveler would be confusing, because the Doctor, as we know, is supposedly married to, like...
Cleopatra, Marilyn Monroe,
Queen Elizabeth,
and a Zygon. Oh, no, he just hooked up with the Zygon. My bad.
Yeah, no. No marriage. But it was, the whole marriage thing with the time travelers seems like that would be another thing. You just got to go timey-wimey and look the other way. But he's, of course, flustered. And then he learns that she really wants a surgeon because the surgeon is, well, at first she says is supposed to remove the diamond and save the king in front of all his people who are watching on monitors, I guess, or you can see them, so. And then she pulls him aside to go over the plan, and that's when he learns he's really supposed to just cut off his head so she can have the diamond. But then, of course, King Hydroflex
hears them.
Not on death's door lying down, he's standing there. And it is revealed that nobody needs to cut off his head because it has already been cut off.
It's detachable like a Cyberman.
So he can... So this... Cyborg,
I guess? Yeah, cyborg.
Because it's... But needs a human head, apparently, and has the robot body. And for, I guess, just to show off, it takes the head off.
Didn't the body kind of remind you of Big Hero 6? Like the red armor?
Yeah.
Just a little bit?
It reminded me of something that I couldn't quite place. I was like,
it's what? Like if you combine most of the, like, Big Hero 6 was based off, I think, a manga comic or a Japanese comic. If you took, like, the outfit from Big Hero 6 and, like, Mega Man and mm-hmm. combined it, it kind of reminded me of something. Or Metroid, maybe. Something like that. I'm like, I was expecting the head to come off and Samus was under it. Samus. I always say her name wrong.
But yeah, so it just seems like to... I said
he's a hybrid.
I guess, yeah. We're not done with the hybrids.
Well, apparently not.
But anyway, I think trying to think of logic in the episode is not going to work, because for reasons I'm not quite... Except to show off, he takes off the head and puts it down and sends the body after them. But then, of course, that leaves the head vulnerable.
Well, yeah.
So the body goes after River. The doctor grabs the head. Or is it the other way around? I forget which
one. The doctor grabs the head. Doctor grabs the head, right?
I was like, or did I switch that? Because I remember River pointing the sonic trowel at it.
Like heads on a cyborg.
I remember River pointing her sonic trowel at the head. So I was like, wait, when did... That was later, yeah. So they want to escape. And River has her associate ready to... transport them away, teleport them away, whatever, and they teleport away with the head and the diamond, leaving the body behind. And then, of course, the doctor meets River's other husband. Is it Raul, I want to say? Something with an R. But
no, it's not Raul.
Something,
it's,
yeah. It's something Ramon. With an R. Ramon, yes.
Ramon, you come here and make this bad TV show episode.
Ramon, who is yet another husband. And the doctor isn't happy about that either. But they've got the head in a bag.
How many things is Capaldi's doctor ever really happy about, though?
I like Capaldi's doctor. He has no...
That's kind of what I love about him. But, I mean, really, how many things make him happy? Playing guitar.
Yes.
Destroying the timelines of history by playing guitar in the medieval court.
Playing guitar.
Being right, basically, is what makes him happy. Mm. No matter what the content, there could be a slew of bodies behind him, but if he's right, he's happy. So yeah, he's obviously not happy that River has another husband.
Yes. So now she has the diamond and Ramon. And of course...
Might be the name of this episode.
She wants... It turns out that she actually purposely brought them to that time and place because she knew the doctor was going to be there.
Right.
It wasn't an accident. But she really wasn't looking for the doctor in the first scenes. So she doesn't know she has him. They find the TARDIS, and that's when we learn that River has apparently stolen the TARDIS many times without the doctor knowing. Because that's just how she rolls. And she breaks in using her key. So I'm like, it's not... She does have a key, so it's not quite so much like stealing exactly. Doctor did give her a key, apparently.
It's like Doctor Who, the coupling years.
She comes in. Doctor comes in and gets to say correctly in his mind, it's bigger on the inside. Big moment for him to finally get to be the one to say it, because of course he's at that point pretending he's not the doctor, because why not? He tried to tell her, she doesn't get it, so rather than just look at her and say, River, I am the doctor, he decides to pretend he's not, because otherwise the episode wouldn't really have a plot.
You said, River, I am the doctor, like on Maury Povich, someone saying, Maury going, you are the father.
Kind of that feel to this episode anyway, but they go...
It's a trailer park episode of Doctor Who.
Well, River tries to leave, but they can't. And she doesn't even get suspicious when the surgeon is able to explain why the TARDIS can't leave because
the head's inside and the body's outside, so it's a paradox, yeah. Which makes
it
no real... Well, I guess it does.
It can't take off I guess like a safety feature if someone's not quite in the TARDIS. Yeah, so they can't go. But then we learn that River's other little helper, Nardal or whatever, is has been decapitated, and his head is now...
Wait, who is Nardal now? Oh, he was just the guy helping her. Guy. Yeah.
You got the doctor.
Okay. Yeah.
But he now...
But he's not a husband.
No. He's just a helper.
Is he in line to be husband?
No.
Okay.
No.
But anyway, we learned that the body can, like, swap heads. So it can have, apparently, any number of heads it chooses to suit its every whim and mood. Cyborgs like choices. Sometimes you feel like looking one way, sometimes another. So basically, he adds heads. I don't know if there's a limit to how many heads it can take, or but it has his head. So then it calls out to Ramon, and Ramon comes thinking it's not knowing that it's the robot, and then of course his head gets taken, added on, and then we've got two heads, and then they use Ramon's head to go to the TARDIS and get in because she thinks it's Ramon at the door. So then the cyborg body and head are reunited so the TARDIS can take off, and it of course takes them to the strangest cruise ever. The cruise for mass murderers, it seems like, and genocidal maniacs, and I don't know how they advertise that one, but
it's like it would almost be like the police departments of the universe sending it directly to people they know are mass murderers and saying, "You've won a cruise." Just to lure them onto it.
Stupid.
It's the weirdest. That part, I was like, this is getting really weird now. Because, of course...
Right, because the detachable head and all that stuff.
Then it got, like... I was like, this is weird. You're, like, a cruise for horrible people. Okay. I'm glad to know you think those exist.
Hey, what do you want me to write for the Christmas episode? Bring back River Song and write something that you think Douglas Adams would write. Only poorly. Okay, gotcha.
But, anyway, we're on the cruise now. And, like, River... obviously knows these people well.
The murderers and stuff, sure.
Because the crew helps her out, and it's not her first time visiting, apparently. Because she's like, remember when I was hauling those... whatever they were, I don't remember now, but...
Well, she's been in jail, and in prison, so, I mean, very possibly could have met some of these people.
Well, I assume part of her... But then I'm confused about that, too, how her going to... Dale because she killed the doctor, but she didn't really kill the doctor, and since he's still around, doesn't everybody know? Because, I mean...
I found it funny how it was a big secret that he went underground incognito, everyone thought he was dead, then all of a sudden he's, like, larger than life again. I mean, I'm pretty sure the galaxy knows.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure why she had to go to jail, but okay. Then, of course, yes, she asks him to, like, seal the cargo doors or whatever so that obviously the King Hydroflax can't, the body of King Hydroflax can't get out because they still have his head.
Poor body.
It's a head in a duffel bag.
I get the reference.
All of a sudden I went, I didn't, yeah, this is literally a movie about another movie about a head in a duffel bag. Okay, small genre. Anyway, there is the head in the duffel bag because she is meeting her buyer because she is not giving the diamond back to the people it was stolen from, which is what she said she was doing. She is selling it. And then you get the really cool effect, but random, of the guy that comes to get it, and he can, like, unzip his head down the middle and just removes the little payment ball, whatever that was called. I just remember the head splitting and him pulling out the little, and I'm like, Okay. I'm not quite sure where he comes from or why, but it looks...
Nicole looked around. She's cool. Like, I haven't had anything to drink tonight, so I guess this is happening. Detachable heads and zipper heads. This is the thing now. Can't wait to see that cosplay.
It was interesting. I just kind of thrown in there randomly. Like, hey, let's make a really cool effect on a character that you might not even remember after a few minutes. So he takes out, and I love that that's where he keeps the payment. I guess it's safe there would be the logic, but I don't know if you always want something that comes from the middle of someone's head, but... So if the diamond was in his head, there wouldn't have been a problem. It could have just opened it up and...
Well, yeah. True.
You wouldn't have this dilemma because they are going to give the head of King Hydroflax and make a run for it, apparently. But then they find out that the buyer wants the diamond to honor King Hydroflax, and they, like, worship him.
So, what was that? Was that you?
Hydroflax. Or something like that.
Yes. They honor him, and somehow they, despite their worship of him, they missed the fact that he had a diamond in his head. They just coincidentally want the diamond. I wasn't clear how they came to want this particular diamond. I know he got it in his head trying to raid where it was, so... Maybe they think he didn't get it, and they want to get it for him. I wasn't completely sure what the... I shouldn't say what the logic was, because I've said you've got to throw logic out the window. Because they take it, and then they realize, and of course River and the Doctor are trying to figure out how to get out of this, because of course they have the head of...
The guy they worked, other the people guy they worship, yeah.
And the diamond is in it, so might not go over too well. But then the Doctor improvises, takes out the head, and starts having them bid on the head of King Hydroflax, even, like, wakes him up by stabbing him with a fork, I guess, in the neck. I don't know what that was, to wake him up. And then everybody is in awe and bowing to the head, and they, like, start the auction without anybody even bidding, until somebody does. They eventually got people going. But then, they want to make their escape, but in the meantime, the body of King Hydroflax has used Ramon to con his way out of the cargo bay, and now he is there, and the crew member that helped him out has promised him an even better head if he spares his life, the head of the Doctor, not knowing that the Doctor is, of course, already on the cruise. He just thinks River can lead them there. Because, you know, it's all about mistaken identities here. So, they stop them, and they start questioning River, and they take her diary, and that's when they go through, oh, you mm-hmm. just came from Manhattan, that's where we learn where in her timeline this falls. Although she's already said she's approaching the end of her diary, and the Doctor would be the one to know how many pages you'd need in a diary. Although I think that's quite impressive, because... Although I guess he would have seen it in the silence in the library and thus known exactly.
But why would you give someone the exact amount of pages? Then they know they're going to die.
Well, technically,
that'd be like me saying, you know, I give birthday gifts for how many years people are going to be left on this planet and giving you like two things. Don't you think that would be a little like awkward? Like she gets to the last page and she's like, shit.
Well, this technically, though, could be, again, one of those bootstrap paradox things, because the Doctor saw the diary, so he knew he had to give it to her, so then he gives her the diary. Could be one of those endless... Because, as I recall, I mean, he sees it first, and then he knows he has to give it to her, so... But, anyway, he... So, we know it's towards the end of her timeline through that, too. But, then... They have the speech where, you know, they're trying to get the information about where the Doctor is out of River, and River is going through this, like yes, I, you know, they're like, oh, you're the woman that the Doctor loves, and she's like, no, and then they're like, well, you're the, and she's like, yes, I love the Doctor, but he doesn't love me, he never has, goes through this whole, like, he wouldn't be standing here with me in this. He's got better things to do. And then, of course, through looking at Peter Capaldi's face, she realizes that the doctor is, in fact, standing right next to her.
And it took her an amazingly long time to figure that out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, of course, he confirms it by saying, "Hello, sweetie." And then...
which was shown in the promo, and you had to wait 45 minutes in to see. It's like the one thing everyone wanted to see.
So then she realizes it's the doctor. But then we realize she had an exit plan all along, even though it looked bad, because she has a book about restaurants that are destroyed, apparently, so you can get free meals and leave before... leave without paying, because everything is destroyed, I guess. So she knows the exact moment the meteor showers are going to hit.
Yeah, she knows the ship's going to get hit, right.
They get, like, escape from the room, kind of in the breaking apart of the ship. Run away, they have to fight a little with the body, and it rejects... oh, before that, yeah, the body rejected the head of King Hydroflax. Burned him up into ashes, left the diamond behind, so they now have the diamond. And the body still needs a head, so it's still looking for the doctor. But then the doctor uses the little payment ball,
yeah,
whatever that was called, and sticks it on the head of the robot, because then it will get lost in all the financial institutions' firewalls and stuff.
5,000 years in the future, they still call it a firewall.
So, then, they have their little debate about, like, saving the ship and who's going to do it, and they kind of fight over it a little bit, and the doctor teleports River over to the TARDIS, but then she flies the TARDIS back to the control room, and... of course, they realize it doesn't really matter if they save the ship, because it's all horrible people on it, because even the crew had to be murderers, so not really anyone worth saving. Although they try. Even with a ship full of murderers and bad people, they still try to save them. But that was when they realized that River notices that they are heading towards Deryllium, where she says the doctor has always promised to take her, but he never does. Because, of course, he knows that's where they spend their last night. But she doesn't know that. So, they do crash, but they go into the TARDIS before they crash. But the crashing kind of knocks River unconscious. So then the doctor goes through his...
interesting... soliloquy?
No, he goes through his, like, interesting plan there of going out and seeing the wreckage, and he finds the guy who's, like, surveying the wreckage and trying to find survivors. And then he gives him the diamond and says, this would be a great spot for a restaurant.
Where a bunch of people got burned to death.
That's always a good place to put your restaurants, sites of disasters. So they decide... well, I think it's amazing, too, that the doctor is just able to say, there should be a restaurant here. Here's a diamond. Go create one. And this guy does. Manages to...
wouldn't you think that trying to offload that diamond would, like, throw up a flag somewhere?
Apparently not.
Yeah. Well,
finders keepers.
I suppose so. Maritime law applies, apparently.
Considering
maritime salvage law applies, I guess, on that planet.
It was so important to the people in the beginning when she was like, oh, they really care about this diamond. They hired me to get it back. And then it's like, no, I guess they... she was going to... okay, so nobody cares now. This one guy gets the diamond because he was there. And he creates the restaurant just like the doctor requested. And, of course, the doctor then jumps ahead in time a bit more, and then the restaurant's there. And then he wants to make a reservation, and they're like, well, all we have is 4 years in the future on Christmas Eve, and the doctor's like, I'll take it, because he wants a table with a view on the balcony. So then he jumps back into the TARDIS, comes back 4 years later, comes out, And then, of course, he's already out somewhere. We don't see him. We just see River finally waking up, wandering out.
Yeah, it finds out that she has to meet him there.
Well, and she has that... I also didn't say, yes, she has that cool little spray that's like magic that just changes her wardrobe.
I mean, every guy would want that.
I was like, it's like magic. She just sprays it and she's like a fairy now or something.
You know what they should have did for this season? And Joanna, back me up on this one, because I think you'd like this idea. What I think they should have did was he should have created the restaurant himself and, like, taken a year off of traveling and, like, ran the restaurant. Like, him and River. No? No one?
I don't know.
It would be an unconventional choice. It'd
be like Happy Days, kind of. It's like Al's Diner.
Like the Dr. Steiner.
There you go. Now you're getting it.
Yeah. Nah.
It could be the diner at the end of the... What was it? The diner at the
restaurant.
End of the... Restaurant at the end of the universe? Well, we'll change it to diner, but yeah.
Well, he was just in the diner with Clara, so he's spending a lot of time in restaurants these days.
Yeah.
And
can we get back to saving the universe?
You have to eat, too.
Apparently it's been a boring few hundred years in the universe.
Time Lords have to eat, too.
True.
He deserves a good meal.
I figured like a Bob's Burgers kind of thing. He has a couple kids with her. Like, you know, he's the fry cook. She's up front at the counter. No? No one's with me on this?
Well, I think this restaurant was...
Like the face of Bo's like a regular.
I think this Orson restaurant Pink was very in. Special, though. It was obviously a event meal. To have a table with a view of the singing towers of Deryllium. But then we get to, after all the madcap adventures of most of it, suddenly we take a more serious turn, because then we know this is the final encounter of the Doctor and River before she goes to her death. And he gives her what he's supposed to give her, but the sonic screwdriver.
She goes to her death and ends up back again.
Yes.
Really, it's not... it's the last time we see her alive, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this takes place between the one where the Doctor is... What is it? Not the Tomb of the... What the hell is the one?
Well, time-wise, that would come after.
So this takes place...
After between... Angels Take Manhattan.
Yes.
So Amy and Rory have just left.
And Silence in the Library.
And Silence in the Library.
I still would like to know how she became who she is. Like, it was so poorly done. Like, she went from Mel, their best friend, to River Song. I'm like, wait. Why? Why couldn't you have spread that out a little bit more and made it more of whatever.
But, yeah, so we have their final encounter where I said he gives her the Sonic that she has, and she kind of knows because she's heard the stories that their last meeting was at the Singing Towers at Deryllium, and this time she wants to know if it's true, and the Doctor is saying spoilers for once. He knows, but he doesn't tell her, which shows, I guess, that he's gotten over his thinking he could change things like he did with Clara, because he doesn't do anything to change River's fate. He accepts it. But then we learn, of course...
But he really, realistically, he may have been able to without massively altering the timeline. Like, he may have been able to, like, drop her some hints of, when you see this, don't do this. You know, when you see A, don't do B. Something like that. Where she'd still go to the library, but she wouldn't die there.
But I think...
I mean, not like a massive, like, oh, don't go to the library ever, like...
But I think that's
because you know
still,
she's gonna go.
But you'd still have that issue of it's part of his timeline because he saw her die. So can that
he saw Clara die?
But that was wrong of him to try and change that. We established he can't change that.
Well, obviously he did.
Well, not really, because she still dies there. Just now she has some wiggle room there.
That's but what you're going with, really?
She still dies there technically, and. He cheats it a bit, but she still has to die.
It should have ended with him going to the library with the body of the cyborg and downloading her into the cyborg body. Because her conscience is obviously alive in the library.
Mm-hmm.
See? How would that be? Joanna? No? Mm-hmm. Cyborg River? No? Mm-hmm. I have a very good feeling that Joanna hated this episode.
What gave you that idea?
I just had a really... When I'm like, hey, you ready? When I'm like, hey, we're going to talk about the Husband's River song, she's like... But from the get-go, you knew it was bad. But, so, yeah, they're having dinner. He tells her spoilers. What was that?
I hated this episode. It was not a Christmas episode. It was so disjointed.
Well, I mean, but basically then it just basically says, and they lived happily ever after, which they didn't.
Well, but River makes the argument that happily ever after doesn't mean forever. It just means time. So for a time, they were because they've got 24 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Evening. I forgot to mention that because one day is 24 years, or one.
She
evening
said one.
Is...
How long is a night in Deryllium? I think, and he said 24 years. So they've got 24 years in this evening that they can spend.
All right, let's end this torture. Joanna, what did you think?
No.
Well, I mean, how?
So just honestly, I thought this was the most disjointed episode ever.
Well, it's the lowest rated episode I think ever since 2005, at least, right?
Wow.
I think I read. Hang on, give me one second.
It was lower than Sleep No More.
Episode had an official rating of 7.69 million viewers in the UK, making it the lowest rated Christmas episode since the show returned in 2005. The chart position was the 8th for the week and the 7th for Christmas Day. The overnight ratings were 5.7 million. That's still, you know, that's deceiving, though, because in England, I mean, there's less people than here. Those numbers mm-hmm. are 30% of the viewing audience. In America, if you had a show that got 29% of the viewing audience, that'd be a massive hit. Shows mm-hmm. are on with 2%. Yeah. But it's the worst. It's the worst rated Christmas episode ever, and it had an appreciation index of I want to say 82, which is pretty low. I think there's been a few in the high 70s, but 82 is pretty bad.
I was gonna say I think Sleep No More was the lowest audience.
Yeah, you're right. It was the lowest Christmas, but still, that's impressive. You need to work to make something that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad. I mean,
it was scenes, sections of it were good, but they didn't connect in any way that made sense.
Well, you have
like,
to...
I get that they went to the spaceship because... No, I don't get why she went to the spaceship. Well, she went to the spaceship because she knew she could escape from it because of the meteor shower.
Yeah.
And that's where she was meeting her buyer. But, like, it just...
No, you can't think about this one too much, because it just jumps up. But I said this one is more like, I mean, it's less like a like serious episode, and it's really just like a total screwball comedy, so.
Which is not, I mean, okay, it's like you took, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, it's like you took the Mummy on the Orient Express, right? Was that what that was called?
Yes.
You took that, you took the one where they were robbing the bank. With,
Is that Time Heist?
Time Heist. You took those two, and then maybe... Oh, let me think. What other one was it? I'm not gonna lie, it actually almost had part of... It almost felt like there was some of, What was the other, Rings of Akatin almost felt like there was some of that thrown in, even. It was like a hodgepodge of... like, each scene was like its own mini-episode that was kind of a ripoff of another episode. Like... The ship, the space scene at the end, or the being on the ship at the end, other than the fact they were criminals, kind of like the Starship Titanic Christmas special. Like, it didn't seem like there was any... It almost seemed like... And I don't mean this really in a bad way towards fans, because we're
actually,
fans, but it seems like it was written by a fan. It's like, oh, you know what was a great scene? From this episode, this. Let's put this in it.
There are a lot of crashing... ships at Christmas, aren't there? Because Christmas Carol too. I was thinking because I was like, no, what was the one they were in the like Christmas Carol? The mm-hmm. ship, Amy and Rory were on the ship for their what honeymoon?
What about the one when? What was the one that Wilf sees the ship crash?
Was that
Donna's father? That was a Christmas one.
Yeah, was that Voyage of the Damned?
Was it Voyage of the Damned? Maybe it may have been the
same
one.
I think it was Voyage of the Damned. Because it was you had the Christmas invasion, which had no crashing ships.
It had an exploding ship.
Yes.
But it didn't crash.
Yeah.
Well, no, but it exploded. It's a bad... Christmas is apparently a bad day for spaceships.
Runaway Bride.
Had no spaceship crashes.
No. And then Voyage of the Damned.
The spaceship crash.
Yes.
And then Next Doctor, which...
No spaceship crash.
No, but...
Actually, one of my favorite Cybermen episodes and one of my favorite Christmas ones, to be honest. I enjoyed that one. I thought the actor that played that thought he was a doctor was pretty good. I liked that episode.
He was a good doctor.
I thought it would have been great to have introduced... I thought it would have been so much of a great twist that when he regenerated, it was into him. Like, a season or two down the road. How great would that have been as a twist? Like, you find out it really is him or... You know, I think that would have been great. But anyways... So no spaceship crash in that.
No. And then The End of Time.
Episode crash.
Then would have been... Was it Christmas Carol next one, I think?
No spaceship crash.
And then...
Flying Sharks, though, if I'm correct, or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Space Shark, yeah.
Did they crash?
No, I don't think they did.
Okay.
A lot of singing in that one, but
that,
no.
That is true.
But was. Oh, that was the one with the spaceship crash. Because that's Amy and Rory on their...
Oh, you're right.
That was the one I was talking about, yeah.
You're right. There was a spaceship crash.
So that spaceship was crashing. Didn't you have a... I could be wrong because I haven't watched this one since it aired, so it's fuzzy, but the what is the first part? The Widow and the Wardrobe. I want to say The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I know, I always
And then I wanted to say The Lion, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. I don't remember what the first part of that title was.
The Lion created the Widow.
I'm just mashing things together, but wasn't there a plane crash in that one, right?
Yes.
Because her husband was crashing. So.
It landed.
Was it a crash landing?
I don't know. I think it landed or something.
Well, because she thought he died in the crash of a plane that was shot down in World War II or something. It was, I have the vaguest memories of that one.
But lots of crashing on
Christmas.
But
that was. But
is what
there
you're
was.
Saying.
I think there was some kind of crash in that one. There was none in the snowmen. And which one am I missing?
Not a bad episode. Underutilization of the whatever they are crew.
Oh no! No crashing in Time of the Doctor. Either. I don't think, as I recall, there wasn't a crash.
No,
he blows up the Dalek ship, but it wasn't
Yeah, it wasn't a crash, no.
It was another explosion. But yeah, so there's like at least four of the Christmas specials have crashing spaceships.
Two of them big liners.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think... I was like, wait, there is a lot of crashing, like, cruise ships and...
Yeah, but, but you see what I mean? How it seemed like there were, like, parts of different episodes just kind of all thrown together?
Well, this is one of...
It was like a collage. Remember when you were a kid and you'd cut out pictures and paste them on the paper?
This was also one of the least Christmassy, probably, of the Christmas specials.
Yeah, Joanna, you mentioned that. You said that it wasn't like Christmas. I mean, yeah, there was nothing other than the antlers and at the end.
And at the end, they just basically say it's Christmas Eve. There's not. And there's, like, I think a Christmas carol playing in the background. But it doesn't go overboard with the Christmassy stuff.
No.
For sure.
That was kind of disappointing because you want the Christmas special to stand on its own. You want it to be Christmas-like.
Yeah, they've never really tied in.
No.
Right? I mean, other than the snowmen. But,
and Time of the Doctor.
But yeah, but that was because that was the 50th anniversary year.
The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. That was the part
I forgot.
Did
that tie into the rest of the season, though?
No, not really.
It stands alone, though.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, I always expect them to stand alone and just be a one-off episode because it's supposed to be, a Christmas episode. Or a holiday episode, whatever you want to say. Christmas, holiday. I don't. To me, it's Christmas. I don't give a whatever. Rat's ass. But, really, you're right. Because even the Cybermen one was a Christmas episode. There was Christmas stuff going on.
Uh-huh. The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe, the plane landed.
You looked it up, didn't you?
Yes.
But I think that they thought it crashed. So, and he was like going, the plane was going she down.
She thought he died for some reason. Yeah. So maybe it didn't crash.
Yeah, she thought he was dead. But then I remember through, like, I just have the vaguest memories. But I remember her thinking her husband died in the crash. And then he really was alive at the end. But I was like, there was the premise of the crashing ship in there, even though it, well, technically the, whatever the cruise ship was that Amy and Rory were on didn't really, I mean, it didn't like crash and explode. They got it down. That's why they crash needed landing. The permission to land on the,
yeah, it was a crash landing.
So it didn't.
But yeah, I don't know. It was just so many different pieces just jammed together that I'm like, eh.
Well, it is like they just...
And the effects were good. The acting was fine. It just... Like Joanna said, it was probably the most disjointed episode in a long time. Still better than most episodes with Danny Pink.
The Doctor quotes Danny Pink in this one, though.
Yeah, it was really...
Every Christmas is last Christmas. Yeah, and was... I was like, is he quoting Danny Pink?
Yep, that was a real kick in the nuts. And then, you like that? You're also forgetting, though, that he... What did he quote? He quotes Jaws. And he goes, I think I need a bigger chart. I think we're going to need a bigger chart. So remember, I think we're going to need a bigger boat. Or I think we need a bigger boat. He paraphrased Jaws there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Maybe unintentionally, but still.
No, I just noticed. I was like, is he quoting Danny Pink?
The least likable character they've created in like 10 years. So anyways, back to this episode. So Joanna, yes. Scale 1 to 10.
Four.
I was gonna kind of question that, but I'd say maybe a five.
Yeah. Only because my thought, as I said before, it was so disjointed.
I agree with you. I agree with you this time.
Yeah, I don't. For me, it was just the type of episode it was easier for me to just kind of accept at one point, okay, it's just going for wacky, so
well, yeah,
there's not going to be logic or...
Well, no, and it was, there were funny moments, and there was some cool effects. Like I said, it just didn't connect for me. So you're going to rate it probably higher than us, I would assume, by a little bit.
Yes.
She's like, do we do fractions?
Yes, we can.
We have done.
We have.
Yes.
We've also changed our grading scale from 1 to 5 to 1 to 10 and back again numerous times.
But 1 to 10 with halves gives you so many more nuances that you can...
It's much more precise.
Yes.
Really lets you drill down.
Because I would say... I mean, I didn't, like, love it, so... But I thought it had good points. I would definitely rank it above Sleep No More. Maybe it's like 6.5 for me.
So we have a 4, a 5, and a 6.5. And we lost Joanna.
She was that upset that I gave it a 6.5.
She hung up on you. Oh, it was working so well. All
right.
Oh, there she is. She's back.
Okay.
So, but I guess that's really it, right? I mean, the next episode we do will just be a season recap. And probably do that in 2 weeks or so, maybe. So, thanks for joining us at Two Girls, a Guy, and a TARDIS. And we appreciate you listening to us. And we are changing to a different podcast hosting group. If you need to build a website, or you need to have a website with a store and stuff, Squarespace is awesome. I have no problems with them. For just blogging and the pricing was really good too, but just for blogging and podcasting, it's overkill. And for some reason, there was always issues with our podcasts and the RSS feeds, and they would blame Apple, and Apple would blame everybody else, which is funny because everyone else would be blaming. Well, 10 people say you change something, and you say 10 people change something, whatever. So we're moving this show to Podomatic, which so far has been pretty good for the one episode I've posted on there. Plus this one, which will air on there. So we'll probably kill off the website soon and just go to maybe WordPress or Tumblr, whichever. I asked for opinions on one of the other podcast pages, and everyone liked the post. I'm like, There was a question mark there. A little help?
It's a very good question.
I think Tumblr is more social, and you can probably, we could, this kind of show would probably reach more people on Tumblr, I think. I think WordPress seems more to, WordPress now seems more geared towards, like, business and store kind of things. So probably Tumblr, but, and we'll all be able to blog on it. So that'll make it easy. One place to go, just put everything there. And we'll keep our domain name and all that, too. So.
And I'm going to write my Lion, the Widow, and the Wardrobe episode that I keep talking about.
Well, I think that's pretty easy. The lion just has to eat the husband. I don't think that's really a long...
No. My lion is going to fly the plane. She's going to be married to the lion.
Wow. Well, there's plenty of space for that.
It's Leandro from the Woman Who Lived. Lion Alien.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about her.
I'm gonna incorporate him into my new story.
Forgot about that. Yeah. Anyways, so thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
All right, bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.